151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We chant the introit on the insert for the second Sunday of Easter.
Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 148 from the front of your hymnals responsibly by whole verse.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights.
Praise Him all His angels, praise Him all His hosts.
Praise Him, sun and moon, praise Him all you shining stars.
Praise Him.
And they were created.
And He established them forever and ever. He gave the creation of the grass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps.
Which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia and verse.
Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Him, "We have seen the Lord." But He said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into His side, I will never believe." 8 days later, His disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered Him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
In 470, verses 1 through 5, you may be seated.
Amen.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was the first day the world had started anew. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now the Word was with the disciples. In this new beginning, the first day of the week, God joined the heavens and earth. The curtain had been rent in twain, and man, that fallen creature, had hid himself from the Lord. And he was now granted access to the holy places above. Those disciples who shut themselves in from fear, God's peace came to them and was now with them. The Word was with them, standing among them as a new creation on the first day of the week. But Thomas was not among them. Like Adam, Thomas hid himself from the Lord. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam? And where are you, Thomas?" Where was Thomas when his brothers assembled? When his crucified Lord appeared to them, now risen from the dead, conqueror of death itself? When peace himself stood among the brothers, Thomas was not there. He did not shut himself in from fear. He shut himself out. Left to his own devices, Thomas lacked the ability and gifts to produce trust in Jesus. Even after Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Thomas returned to his old Adam. He wouldn't let go. These disciples feared the Jews. They feared the world and its persecutions and the shame of believing in a dead God. And Thomas was nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found to support and encourage his fearful brother disciples. And Thomas is like an Enlightenment skeptic. Show me the proof. He saw Jesus killed with nails piercing his hands and a spear thrust into his side. But Thomas didn't really understand it when he saw the crucifixion. And he didn't understand it when his brothers proclaimed the resurrection. He understood the necessity of neither. He wanted the clinical proof of a laboratory and a microscope. He wanted to see and touch Jesus. But that's not faith. That's doubt. The sin, which we call great shame and vice, persists in this world. In fact, it runs rampant. Who can believe such a thing? That God Himself would become a man, suffer on a cross, and rise again from the dead? All to redeem His creation from the sin and doubt that infect it so deeply? And who could believe it would actually work? That the death of one man would mean the salvation of many? Doubts like this can lead to despair. It can also lead to the arrogance of Thomas, which says, "I'll trust my eyes, but not the Lord's proclamation." Thomas seats himself on the throne of judgment. He heard Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and he asked himself, "Did God really say that?" Any mercy God shows must pass muster with Thomas, or he will never believe. But Jesus precisely diagnosed the sin that ailed Thomas. "Put your finger here," he said. "Put your hand here. Don't doubt. Believe." Just as Jesus suffered on the cross, so he suffered Thomas's doubt. But he came to bring peace to Thomas, not to convict him of his sin. To forgive Thomas's doubt, not withhold forgiveness. Even Thomas's arrogant doubting was no match for Christ's mercy. Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was oppressed and afflicted, led as a lamb to the slaughter, by his stripes we are healed. The wounds in his hands and in his side mean our salvation. The king upon the cross is not some gory picture to bring sadness and fear. It is the single most beautiful image in all of history. It is Christ's true exaltation and his glory. There, he defeated that which defeats us, sin, including these doubts. But then there's the resurrection. This is the reward for Christ's sacrifice. After 8 days, Thomas was reborn in the upper room. His brothers had prevailed upon him to rejoin their assembly so that he might be forgiven of that great shame and vice of his doubt. To place that sin on the crucified Jesus' shoulders and have life in his resurrection. Jesus himself is the proof of God's mercy. His appearance to the 10 disciples and to Thomas, whose fear was just a symptom of their own doubts, this is the proof not just that Christ suffered and died and rose again, but that he did so for them. Now, Thomas's response is so beautiful that it may at first blind us to its depth. It was he who began in fear and skepticism and doubt, saying, "I will never believe." But by the proclamation of the disciples who told him, "We have seen the Lord," and the long-suffering invitation of Jesus who said, "Look and touch," both Thomas's fear and his doubt were dispelled. Thomas didn't say, "I fear no more," or "Now I believe." Rather, he boldly and humbly exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." What else is there to say? The proof of God's mercy in the person of Christ is certainly cause to change one's mind. It changed the minds of the 10 disciples, and it changed Thomas's mind. But it's more than just that. It's not merely an intellectual matter, as Thomas perhaps had perceived it. It's life-changing. Thomas's confession is not, "I now have the proof that I once required." It's a confession that Jesus is his God and the Lord whom he will follow from thenceforth. The proof of God's mercy in Christ is the peace that passes all understanding. It brings gladness and joy. The disciples knew that their trust was well placed in Jesus Christ. They knew their own limitations would not keep them from fellowship with God. At the center of this account of Jesus' appearance in the upper room is the forgiveness of sins. This is the meaning of his crucifixion and his resurrection. It's the reason for both and the cause of peace and gladness for his believers. Jesus came to this upper room to send his disciples out into the world, carrying that same forgiveness of sins. And Jesus still ordains men for the tasks and breathes the Holy Spirit on them. And he still charges them to forgive sins or withhold forgiveness from those who are unrepentant. So theirs is an awesome office, one from which men should and do shrink if they are able only to rely on their own fitness. To forgive sins and withhold forgiveness is for God alone. But the Holy Spirit is there to guide them so that when they forgive sins, it is as from God himself. In confession and absolution, there is neither room nor cause for doubt. Christ instituted this great gift so that his people might have the same peace he brought to his disciples that first Easter night and that night 1 week later. And this gift, confession and absolution, has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Peter knew that he sinned, and he wept bitterly. And when he wept bitterly, he confessed his sin. Thomas knew his doubt was sin and simply confessed, "My Lord and my God." He said nothing unnecessary, but acknowledged that he fell short of God's law and his salvation would come through Christ alone. The second part of confession is that we receive forgiveness from our pastor as from God himself. That is what Jesus declared when he ordained these men. It's his peace that he sends with his disciples and his ministers. To spread this peace that comes from the wounds Thomas saw and touched is the task of the office Christ instituted. It's not just Christ's suffering and death, though. In the upper room, his resurrection is the subject of earnest whisperings, a subtle secret revealed behind closed doors. The wounded man appeared a victor over not just sin, but death itself. His resurrection means your resurrection. He whose grave was made with the wicked now walked again on this earth among men, so that you might walk again on this earth with him, immune from the sting of death, glad and at peace. We have his peace doubly in forgiveness and in life. The secret goes out to all the world in the way God's secrets usually go out, through his instruments, through his creatures. The one who is sent by his Father sends his ministers into the world as stewards of his mysteries. And into such stewards, he has breathed his Holy Spirit. And such is the glory of this wounded conqueror of sin and death, that he has chosen such a rabble of sinful men, too often thick in the head and blind in spirit, to carry his secret into the world. And they do so, poor, miserable sinners that they are, by the Holy Spirit. They are sent by the one who himself was sent by the Father. He sends them with his blessing and a traveling companion, a bodyguard, so to speak, the Holy Spirit. If the Lord's disciples and ministers are like Aaron, the Holy Spirit is like Moses, feeding Christ's ministers the words from the Father. And having taken their commission seriously, they proclaim Jesus' resurrection as the disciples did for Thomas. This peace, the peace that Christ brings, is a shared peace. It is peace in the fellowship of his believers with his Father and with himself. It is the same fellowship that brought Thomas into the upper room to be among his brothers and to see and touch his Lord. This fellowship shines a light on our sin and washes us clean in his blood. In this fellowship, Jesus Christ is always present, just as he was present in the flesh in the upper room. The locked doors could no more keep Jesus out of his disciples' presence than a very great stone could keep him in his grave. Jesus' resurrected life means his eternal presence among us in his fellowship. His place at the right hand of the Father in heaven cannot contain him either. He is present among us in His Word. Our God is the Lord of Beatitudes, and here He proclaims yet another, this one for you and me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We have not seen, but we believe because we have heard and we have tasted. Doubt has been vanquished in the person of Christ, in His wounds and in His victory over death. We receive the Word of God and the forgiveness of sins through this fellowship we have in Christ. We have life in His name, knowing that He is our God, sacrificed for our sins and arisen to conquer death, so that we might confess with one heart and soul, "My Lord and my God." Indeed, we are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hymn 470, verses 6 through 9. We stand to confess.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for
church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son is the firstborn from the dead. In him we have been reborn into a new and living hope. Nurture us with the pure milk of your word, that we may grow to maturity of faith and have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to those ordained for your service the gift of the Spirit, wisdom that comes down from above, and grace to faithfully fulfill their holy calling where you've placed them. Bless the work of Trinity Lutheran Church, Child Care, and Campus Ministries, and bless Pastor Roberto Weber and his wife Catherine as they serve in the Dominican Republic. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As your people are united in the common life and love of our Savior, grant that we would share that life and love with those in need. Build up the households of your people, that your holy children begotten in baptism may grow in grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. As we serve you in our vocations and callings, bless those who celebrate their baptism and birthday, Landry Lewis, Cynthia Burks, Lucy Lemke, Daryl Boat, Nils Gransberg, Bridget Collins, Ethan Nash, Candy Gorman, Sandra Audi, Pastor Josh Welmer, Stan Sendelbach, and Heidi Franklin, and those who celebrate their wedding anniversaries, Dwayne and Nancy Brzozowski, Alex and Eileen Stringer, Chris and Karen Latisaw. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you've instituted authorities to carry out your justice. Bless all who make, administer, and judge the laws of our land. Give them wisdom, integrity, and honor to serve according to your good will. Bless firefighters and police, those in the military, Eli, Courtney, Danny, Mike, Emily, and Alex. Bring an end to the wars in Palestine and Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort and healing to those in our midst who are in need of comfort and strength and healing. Tim Anderson, Jennifer Weber, John Halpin, John Singleton, Shelley Bruner, Ella Shem, Lindsay Shem, Robert Crown, Candy Darmody, and Madison Lemke. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, the risen Christ, give us the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord in this holy supper. Let us taste that the Lord is going to continually grow up into salvation. Through your word and sacrament, establish our faith day by day, until at last we attain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we gather the offerings this morning, please fill out a visitor or membership card and place that card in the basket in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated.
join page 159. We stand to sing.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, the body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Catechetical Thank the Lord, page 164, we stand to sing. To you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.